Good morning. I've been looking forward to this day for a long time. I have known and loved your pastor and his wife, and also I've known Pastor Joanna and Matt from a long, long time ago, and I've heard about how God is bringing people from around the world to Lansing, Michigan, and you're becoming one body here in Lansing Central Church. It's an honor for me to be with you. I had to take my shoes off because I've been to Nepal, and you reminded me this morning that there is an honor to step up here, and I shouldn't wear my shoes up here. So in honor of the holiness of the privilege of opening the Word of God, I will be, you remember when Moses had to take off his shoes because it was holy ground? We acknowledge holy ground together. It was a joy to hear you sing this morning and at annual conference. And a wonderful thing to know that God is at work. And you know, I don't know if everyone here knows, but Nepal has a reputation of being a country that's quite closed to the gospel and quite resistant, doesn't it? And yet, the joy of the Lord needs no translation. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives in people, we recognize the family resemblance, the same God, the same Holy One. And it doesn't matter which country is from. I'm privileged to see that we have people here from some countries in Africa, and you will hear about my story intersecting. I'm grateful that we have people from exotic places like Michigan showing up here. I was raised in Spring Arbor, a few miles away from here. And I was joking this morning when I pulled into the parking lot, I could remember that the last time I was in this sanctuary was 1979. Because I was in the concert choir at Spring Arbor University, and we came and did a concert here. That was a long time ago. This is the last Sunday between Easter and Pentecost, and we're remembering the ascension of Jesus, this amazing thing that happened when he was received up into heaven while his disciples, his apostles, watched. And this morning I'd like us to read a little piece of it at the end of Luke and a little piece at the beginning of Acts, which is really Luke book 2, okay? So if you would be willing to turn in your Bibles with me, we're going to talk about the unfinished business that Jesus left behind when he was ascended. Luke chapter 24, it's on page 808 in your pew Bibles. Would you stand for the reading of the gospel if you are able, please? Luke 24. We're going to read verses 36 to the end. Luke 24, 36. While they were saying these things, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you startled? Why are there doubts arising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have." As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Because they were wondering and questioning in the midst of their happiness, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. Taking it, he ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I'm sending to you what my Father promised, but you are to stay in the city until you've been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem, overwhelmed with joy, and they were continuously in the temple, praising God. Now, don't sit down. If only the book of John were not stuck in between, the very next book would be Acts, which Luke also wrote. And I like to pick up the very beginning of Acts. It's like book one, book two. So it's on page 830. Theophilus, that means lover of God. The first scroll I wrote concerning everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. Now let's go down to verse 7. Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You may be seated. This is God's word for us. The disciples were witnesses to the life that Jesus lived. They heard his teachings that heal. They saw his healings that teach. They recognized that when Jesus encounters a life, that life is drawn to God and gets a whole new beginning. And the past, the sin, the bondage, the lostness, the poorness has all been transformed in the presence of Jesus, and they were witnesses to that. They saw that he was crucified, and then they saw that he was raised from the dead, and they were amazed, and they thought he was going to do something more. Oh, Jesus, we're so glad you're back alive. He's only 33. You would think he still has a lot more living to do, wouldn't you? He's only 33. He's barely begun what he's going to do, only 3 years of public ministry. But Jesus said, "No, I have another plan. When I was here with you, I was confined to being in one human body. But now there's a better plan. I will go back to the Father, and he will send the Spirit so that millions and millions and millions of people can be inhabited by the Spirit of God and can know how to do the teachings of Jesus and how to love with the passion of Jesus and how to do the good works that Jesus did so that others will see those good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven." Now, at the end of Matthew, the Great Commission, we call it, Jesus says, "Go into all the world." But in the end of Luke here, he says, "Stay. Don't go yet. You're not ready. Stay. Stay in the city until you get my power, because I have big plans for you. You're not going to stay in Jerusalem. You're going to start in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you will share this good news with people who are very much like you. They have the Jewish religion. They have their Old Testament. They trust in God. They follow God. They are of your race, your ethnicity, mostly people like you. But then you're going to branch out to Judea, where you're going to start encountering more people. And then when you cross the barrier into Samaria, you're going to cross into different religious background, different ethnicity, different culture. And then after you go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, guess where you're going to end up? The ends of the earth. Now, Luke could have never imagined. Jesus' disciples, when they heard the ends of the earth, they probably imagined nothing outside the Middle East. They couldn't have imagined Michigan. They couldn't have imagined Africa or Nepal. I mean, that's the ends of the earth to them. But Jesus said, "This good news will be preached in all nations." Or you could translate that, all peoples, all people groups, so that everyone, everywhere, can become the body of Christ, can encounter God. That's what the good news is about today. So, did we get Jerusalem? Yes. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, I want to show you a slide that talks about this Free Methodist family that you've become a part of. I can't give you detailed statistics for the whole global family of God. But the family of the name Free Methodist, I can tell you a little bit about, okay? So we have about 1.1 million members in the world. Now, in a world our size, that's not very big, but it is still, by the grace of God, the church has grown to be 1.1 million members. Now, notice where those members are. Up there in the purple, 85,000, that's where it started here in the United States. And that includes Canadians and people in Great Britain, because we all started off as one group there. Do you see that's only 7% of the total? 93% of the Free Methodists in the world live in other places. Look at there, 477,000, almost one half of all the Free Methodists in the world are in Africa. And 427,000 and growing fast is Asia. Almost a half a million of the Free Methodists in the world are in Asia. And then we have Latin America, just about the same size as North America, and then a few in the Middle East. That would be Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, and so on. Isn't it a beautiful thing to know that you have brothers and sisters all over the world that you've never met before? And guess what? I've gotten to see some of them. I've been to 33 countries in the last 6 years. And some of them I've been to a lot, like I've been to Haiti 13 times. I've been to India 4 or 5 times, several countries in Africa 4 times, because we're really in deep and close partnership with the church around the world. And the church around the world is serving the children, like I told you in the video. Well, I want us to quickly hear a little bit about my story, okay? Could you show this slide? One day, I was a pastor in Rochester, New York, and this family from Central Africa, originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo, came walking into our church. Well, you can imagine that the American congregation turned around and said, "Who are these people?" And the women had big, beautiful headgears on. And the father here, Prudence, through the translator who was the son, Heritage, said to me, "We are orphans. We have no motherland, no fatherland. We have no one. The Free Methodist Church is our family, and you are our mother." And I said, "Well, welcome home." And then they came into the church and they began to transform us, because there were things about the way they know and love and worship God that were very beautiful and we could learn from them. And there were things about the way we know and love and worship God that they could learn from. And so we began to become family. Now, I want to tell you one of the stories the next slide shows. Here's an example of how ignorant I was when we started this in 2007. This family asked if our church could raise money to send so that this church in Minembwe, Congo, could get doors and windows. They said, "We built the church ourselves, we made the bricks, we raised the money for the roof, we don't mind that we have a dirt floor. But when there's no glass or anything in the windows and no doors in the doorways, then when it rains, it gets muddy on the floor. And then all the animals come inside the church, and you know what they do to the floor. So could you please help us raise the money?" So I didn't know anything. They gave me an email address, so I emailed the guy and I said, "Could you send me a photo so I could put it on the screen and tell the people, you know, what the $8,000 is for?" And I got an email back from this man, and he said, "I have dispatched a man with a camera. It will take him 6 days walking." And I thought, "Oh, shoot, I didn't mean to take a whole week out of a man's life just because I didn't know that they didn't have a camera up there and they didn't have an internet up there and they didn't have..." What was I thinking? But I started to be introduced to the way the world is quite different than the way we live in this place. Well, we were able to raise that money. We had to, after the man gave up a whole week of his life to get us a picture, right? Okay, let's go to the next one. I began to look with new eyes when the Lord asked me to come and lead International Child Care Ministries. I began to look with new eyes at some of the Bible verses I had known for my whole life. The Spirit of the Lord, let's read this out loud together, okay? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." This is Bishop John Golapali and his wife Tiba, and they are in India. I understand that Pastor Bruce has had some conversation with them about Nepal. Let me tell you that these people have over 2,000 children in their care. And it all began when someone came to Bishop and Mrs. Golapalli and brought an orphan and gave the orphan to them. And they already had three children of their own. And Bishop said, "Lord, we can't take this child." And he says, I still don't know if it was an audible voice or if it was just in my head, but the Holy Spirit of God said to me, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." Now, that's what God said. That's what Pharaoh's daughter said to Moses' mother, right? When she asked her to take care of her own son. It's the funniest sentence in the Bible, really. "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." So now Moses' mother is going to get paid for taking care of her own son. But he said, we took the child in, and then God brought us another and another and another, and we had 35 before we institutionalized, and now they have over 2,000. The church cares for the children. Let's go to the next one. Let's read this verse out loud together. "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy." Ezekiel 16:49. Now, I thought I knew the sin of Sodom. I thought it was a triple X-rated sin. But Ezekiel said that their sin was that they were just like me. Arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned with the poor and needy. You know, there's a lot for us to learn when we really pay attention to the Bible, because God is very strong for the words he says about his concern for the vulnerable. Let's go to the next one. Together, "He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord?" Jeremiah 22:16. I took this picture in Burundi. What do you notice about this little girl? She's wearing one shoe. Now, why do you think she only has one shoe? Because if you give an African child two shoes, and she has a sister or a friend who has no shoes, she'll share one. Why should I have two comfortable feet while you walk on a bare feet on the stones? This verse is referring to King Josiah, who became king at the age of 8. And it says, he defended the cause of the poor and needy, so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me? And I said to the Lord, no, I don't think that's what it means to know you. I thought it was to feel your presence when I sing. I thought it was to hear your voice in the scriptures. I had a very private understanding of what it meant to know God. But he says that when I defend the cause of the poor and needy, I know him in a more complete way because he cares. And it's not just the poor and needy on the other side of the world. It's the poor and needy right in our own world as well. Let's look at the next verse. This is from the New Testament. Let's read it together. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." James 1:27. Do you know that in the Bible times and in most of the world today, orphans and widows are the same household? They are fatherless families. In some countries, if a man dies and his wife is young enough that she wants to remarry and perhaps have more children, she has to give her children away to relatives because no man will marry a woman and take on stepchildren, extra mouths to feed. So when a man dies, the children don't only lose their father, but also their mother. And many of the children who are in our care in several countries have that situation. In other countries, women don't have the right to own property. So when the husband dies, the widow and the children are often kicked out of the house because a male relative will come and take the house. So the church around the world takes this verse very seriously, that we are to take under our wing the fatherless families, because God says he is father to the fatherless. and he expects his people to take special concern for those who need special help. Let's look at the next one. Let's read this together. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Matthew 18:5. I took this picture in Brazil, where the church welcomes about 500 poor children from a place called Monte Santo into a Christian school. And they're not only learning how to read and write, they're learning about the love of Jesus. And when we welcome a child, I love seeing this whole front row full of kids and then another row and another row. And I love it that the children are downstairs being welcomed in the name of Jesus. And you can do that with your own children and grandchildren, your neighbors, your nieces and nephews, the kids at work, if you're a nurse or a teacher, or you can name a dozen other professions where you interact with children. Just welcome them into your life, into your heart. Pray for them. Bless them in Jesus' name. He says that you're welcoming him. So if you want Jesus in your church, be sure it's full of kids because he says he comes with them. Let's go to the next one. This is a wonderful quote from a pastor named Frederick Buechner. It says, your calling is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. Isn't that beautiful? Now, come with me. Let's take the next one. Come and see a little bit of my deep gladness. Let's move on now. I'm going to just let these slides roll, and I'll talk to you a little bit about them because you're glimpsing here some of your brothers and sisters around the world. Haiti is a small country, but it's our biggest country. And I want to tell you that I was there a couple months ago and found out that almost all of our pastors in Haiti were sponsored when they were children. And almost all of our churches were planted because they started with a school in a village. And then after they won the hearts of the village to themselves by educating the children, they could start up a church because the parents appreciated that. Now we're in Africa. We're going to look at a few places. Ethiopia, you know, is a battleground between Islam and Christianity. So we're going to see a school called Arbegona. As you drive up the mountain to reach this school, you will pass through many towns that have only a mosque and no church. And then you get to the top and you find a big, beautiful Free Methodist church. We find a school with 1,000 students, almost all of them sponsored. They get the best grades in the whole state. And this pastor, Pastor Taye, says, we're taking this mountain from the top down. And now he has 18 daughter congregations. And God is bringing people to himself. Kenya, another country in Africa. This is Kibera slum. It's the second largest slum in the world. It has more than 1 million people with no running water, electricity, public education, etc. But we have a Free Methodist school there, and these are some of our leaders, full of the joy of the Lord, you can tell. And I was told that there's a waiting list of 300 children for this school, and the parents would send the kids even if we never taught them to read and write. I said, why? Lunch. If we feed them lunch, we can have 300 more kids than we can cram into our space right now. Hunger is a real need in that place. This is another school there called Kawangware. And wherever we go, we see that the image of God is in every single person. Isn't it beautiful to see the image of God in so many faces, boys and girls? He is alive and well around the world, and he knows all of these kids by name. Nigeria, several of you, maybe all of you, prayed a few weeks ago for a missionary who was kidnapped. This is Phyllis. She's back in Nigeria now. But the beautiful story there is that there is a tribe, a Muslim tribe, called the Fulani. We have about 300 Fulani children in our school. And when the Ministry of Education came to check on the school, they were shocked that these children are educable. They didn't know these people could be taught to read and write. But it's a beautiful thing to see peace coming between the Muslims and Christians in that little area of Kogi State. And there's our bishop, Bishop Kendall. And I had a chance to be at that boarding school, and those boys asked me, Madam, please tell us a Bible story. And I could hardly wait to tell them a Bible story. And then the country of Burundi, which is our second largest program in the world, and you've been hearing about some trouble in Burundi the last few weeks leading up to their presidential election. There's violence in the street. It's very chaotic, and we should continue to pray. We have a special program in Burundi to feed little children. This is called Busoma, and we make it literally by the ton. Because, you know, if you are very young and you don't get enough calories, you will be stunted both in your brain and your body. If you get more calories later, your body will catch up, but your brain will never catch up. You will have learning disabilities for the rest of your life if you don't get enough calories when you're a little tyke. And so we're grateful to be able to feed children. Central and South America, we have a smaller program. A lot of countries, but a very small program in each. Venezuela, we have an excellent school there. Ecuador, the children are dressed up in their various tribal costumes. Nicaragua, and I hear that one of your pastors was actually there to help build that school where these kids are. Right? That wall behind there, that's in that school you built. Pretty exciting. And then Asia is 18% of our total and growing rapidly. Do you know the Free Methodist Church in India baptized over 3,000 people in one day a couple years ago? He said he was going to stop at 2,999 because he didn't want to compete with the day of Pentecost. But then he said, go ahead, they're ready. They've been prepared, just go ahead and baptize them. We have homes for girls in a place where it's very unusual for girls to be educated. Most of them are married off at the age of 13, and that's that. And many of them are trafficked. And so we're grateful to have a place where the girls can have a better future than the possibility of being trafficked. We're grateful also that many young men are coming to know Jesus, and a lot of them are being called to be pastors, and that's part of how the church is growing. So it's a beautiful thing to see God's people in every place serving the children, reaching the children, and then guess what? The Holy Spirit takes it from there, and the church grows and grows and grows. This is one of the very remote places in India. Does it looks kind of familiar. I'm seeing a lot of smiles. And everywhere we go, we see the beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ in places that we might think of as the end of the earth, because Jesus' vision is being fulfilled that people from every tongue, tribe, language, and nation will come. You know about Myanmar or Burma? You know, it's a very strongly Buddhist country, and a lot of value goes on education. So these little children are from Buddhist families, but they come to the Free Methodist preschool, and they do better in school because they've been prepared at preschool. Now, when we sponsor some pastors' children, and this is our coordinator, and he has to travel on roads like that. Vietnam has persecution of Christians by communists to this day. This pastor, week after week, sends me a little text after Sunday to see whether the local authorities have stopped the church from meeting or they've been able to succeed in meeting. But the church is growing, even in Vietnam, even under persecution, and we're sponsoring some children there. These are pastors' children in the country of Vietnam. So we have schools, child development centers, hostels, and pastors' kids, and all you have to do is give a dollar a day, and you'll be paired up with one of the children around the world. And that child will have a chance to go to school. In some cases, it adds food and other necessities, medical care, into the child's life. Let's go to the next one. Also, sponsoring a child is a first line of defense against a child being trafficked. We have several projects that are specifically designed to be safe homes where trafficking is a scourge, where it's very high incidence. And so we have 20,000 children now in 30 countries with about 12,000 sponsors. So you can see quite a few people sponsor more than one. And I would say to those of you who already sponsor one, have you missed that dollar a day? Think you could do another one? Yep, I bet you could. You know, I'm convicted every time a dollar slips through my hands. You know, I bought a cup of coffee. You can't even get a dollar a cup of coffee anymore. You can barely get a soda, right? But it happens. But the Lord has great possibilities for a dollar a day in these kids' lives. And then just says thank you in a lot of languages. How many of you are already sponsors with International Child Care Ministries? Wow, I see a good 20 of you, and some of your Sunday school class. There's a class that takes two kids. So you're already partnering with us. And so on behalf of the children, some of you are looking. Can anybody tell me what that bottom one means? Anybody? Okay. And does it mean thank you? I hope so. And so we have thank you. Merci. You know that French? Merci en pile. You know what that is? Creole, Haitian Creole, right. Gracias, in Spanish, right. Obrigado, Portuguese, Portuguese, yes. Muruko Zechane, Kinyarwanda. And then Asante Sana, what is that? Swahili, yes. And Salamat is from the Philippines. And I wish I could add 25 more languages because all around the world, the children are grateful that Jesus' vision of taking the good news to the end of the earth is being fulfilled. And we have the privilege to be a part of it. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you what more of you can do if you want. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Linda. Thank you. As we continue to pray, as you remember the slide that showed the percentages of Free Methodists around the world, may it prompt us to remember that the average Free Methodist in the world today does not look like me. We would do well to look not only for our own interests, but also to the interests of others as a church, as sisters and brothers, that we continue to pray. We continue to ask the Lord to soften our hearts, to expand our dreams, to see the ways that we can serve, whether it's as simple as a dollar a day, a little more complex in creating gardens across the street. Maybe it's simply opening our houses to friends that we have not bothered to get to know as well as perhaps we could, whether they're on the other side of the world or the other side of the street. May we continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and may we continue to see his kingdom come and his will done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, for this day, we give you great thanks for glimpses of what you are doing around the world through the faithfulness of your people to your people. We give you thanks. May you pour out your grace upon those who feel that they have been overlooked and forgotten and who are hurting and who are suffering on whatever continent, whatever country they find themselves, Lord. May your hands reach them and touch them and hold them and reassure them that there is a place at the Master's table, that there is room in the kingdom for us all. May we be your people. May we do your will. May we be filled with your love. May we show your grace. May we be passionate about mercy, Lord. May we be faithful to work for justice. And may you extend your spirit on all of us that we might know your power and be your people, proclaiming your name around the globe. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who with the Father and the Spirit is one God, now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you as you go. May the Holy Spirit take you to places that you would never go on your own. May you be reminded that Jesus has given you grace. So live in his forgiveness and be free. And may God bless you and help you to be his hands and feet. Grace and peace to you all. Amen.